Christians are supposed to be the light of the world. We're supposed to guide directions to the truth, which is God, and we're supposed to show the way things are supposed to be done. A disturbing trend that has been happening for a long time, instead of us showing the right way to go, we have been picking up examples and taking on trends that the world has been doing, which unfortunately is going in the wrong way. The order of my steps is titled, The Way Means the Way, to give us the right direction of how and the way, the path to do things. But unfortunately, we've been following the world's trends of following our way of doing it. As we start off in the top of the page, it says, unfortunately, we tend to look for people with the same experiences as we are going through for guidance and encouragement. But the question is that wise? Now, from a human intellect, that does seem wise. I had a mother years ago, before I had kids, first asked the advice of, man, what do I do with my children to raise them correctly? When I was about to answer, and the only thing I had was what the word said, and that should have been it, her response was, no disrespect, but you do not have kids. I'm going to find somebody that does. Now, honestly, intellectually, that's absolutely right. Why would you go to somebody that hasn't experienced it? Unfortunately, what God has shown us, and we're going to read this even in this verse, just because I experienced it doesn't mean I'm doing it right. It says in Luke 6, 39 through 40, he also told them this parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. Using that parent who is asking about raising her child, if she went to another parent just because they're a parent, if they were responding and doing things based on outcome, feeling, or just the fact that they were experiencing it, and you're gaining their advice and they're wrong, all you're receiving is more wrong. So you initially went to them blind, you're receiving information that's blind, and of course you're still going to end up in destruction. But this parable is kind of leaning towards, like he says in verse 40 of it, fully trained will be like his teacher. Person who is fully trained will be like his teacher. And the guidance that we all have access to is being fully trained like the teacher, which is Christ, with the answer, which is Christ. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but we're understanding in this that if we, and this is where spirituality gives us an advance over fleshly, we understand that spirituality shows us and clears our vision and our understanding of things to see what the truth is. Human intellect gives us something that when I first said it, I think a lot of you will go, yeah, of course. The problem with this concept has been the thing that has been building up what we call counsel and encouragement. People have been forming groups of people who are like-minded, not the like-minded we're going to talk about in a little bit, but like-minded in my experiences. We have gone to people who have gone through it and came up with an answer. What Jesus showed us is he is the answer that must be applied to everything. John 14, verse 6 says, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He answers it in this way to cover that he is the only true path. He is the only true answer, and he is the only true essence of existence. So in understanding those three things, every other what we may think is answer has to come to that, has to come based on through Christ. We allowed ourselves to envision it and distort it based on flesh. If it feels good, if it turned out good on how I seen it, it smells good, and so on and so forth, then it must be good. And then that's why we go to people, well, that person experienced it. One thing I've noticed even as a Christian, just from what the word says, there's a lot of people born as male and have no idea what it means to be a man. That's deep when you think about it. And they're going to die never knowing what it means to be a man. Truly be a man based on what God says, who is the truth. He's the one who's created us. So he gives us the answer on what we are supposed to be. He is the answer. Now, in forming these groups and going to worldly counseling, you have to understand there are people that have gathered a lot of things that seem right. And that's why faith is a must, because sight is so deceptive. Our seeming is so deceptive. Proverbs 14:12 clearly says there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Seems right. And this, as far as our intellect goes, and there's a lot of things that we have depended on man to tell us, and we just went with it. We have fully accepted it, not only in our sciences, but we've accepted it in our politics, in our way of life. We've allowed man to say the way this looks, the way this seems. And unfortunately, our senses is what we're left with when all we lean upon is the flesh. We don't have insight to things that we can't comprehend and grasp without those senses. Now, if we don't know the difference between good and bad guides, it will be a recipe for destruction. That's why in 1 Corinthians 15:33, he says, do not be misled. He starts off with that. He's giving us that warning of, hey, don't be misled. Why is he saying this? Well, watch what he says, and then I'll explain why this is so important. Bad company corrupts good character. Now, understand what he's saying here, because if I get rid of the insult part of it, I understand only God is good. So only things that are of God are good. So only good company is godly company. You see how I'm coming together with this? So what he's saying here is, if the company or the people that I surround myself with, that I get my understanding, that I get my trust, that I get my guidance, that I get my counsel, that I get my encouragement, are not godly, they're bad. And he didn't say could. He goes straight into the answer of what they will do. Bad company corrupts good character. So he's not necessarily talking about somebody that I, Keith Smith, within himself, considers bad. He's talking about people that I, within myself, may consider good because I consider them my friend. They seem to have my back. They have my best interest. But because they don't have God, they're not good. Because they're not good, I'm going to be corrupt. Do you get this? All of this comes together because he lets us know as Christians, and this should be a foundation of everything, he is the answer. It's going to come back to him. We have full access to him. That's why as the light, we're supposed to guide the world to him. But because the church has allowed the influence of the world to affect it more, we're catering more to the flesh. You see, the flesh wants to be comforted. The flesh wants to be pleased. So the flesh wants to patch the flesh, right? Think about it. If I see a flaw in my character, I want to fix that flaw. What Jesus has showed me is that that flaw is not the problem, because the source of that flaw is the flesh. Think about it. The flesh in control is how we've been living, and here I am trying to patch the problem itself. The source of the problem is the flesh, and now here I am using the flesh, trying to fix things in the flesh, even though the problem is the flesh. And if I don't know that, I'm going to keep patching something that in itself needs to be patched. Now, we must be careful not to corrupt with answers outside of God. That's where the bad company is going to come in. That's where the blind leading the blind comes in. I've seen many groups, and nothing against these groups, because once again, on the surface, they do very good things. Surface, and I'm using good, not in a godly way. I'm using, they mean well, and they're really trying to do something, but unfortunately, they create a vicious cycle. And that's why in Psalms 119:9, asks the question, how can a young man keep his way pure? Okay, so first of all, he's talking about how to get on the right way, and then how does he stay that way? And he makes it very clear by living according to your word. I've been to a lot of these support groups, and I'm no expert based on myself, but I have access to the expert, which is Christ. And what all of these support groups should be, and I'm talking about any drug anonymous, addiction, encouragement, counsel, should simply be a Bible study. And think about this. It's not necessarily a Bible study to fix the problem. It's a Bible study to get as close to Christ, the answer. Within the answer, I can deal with the problem. I can recognize if it's a problem. I can understand how to adjust to the problem. I can understand which problems to get rid of. Because in many cases, we don't even know what it is. And this is why we go through a vicious cycle. Today's world, we take more medication, not because we've become worse, it's because we just want it to go away. And the medication kind of closes and shuts things down so we don't have to deal with it. You may look at it and go, man, this is too complex. It's too complex when I keep trying to see it from the problem, which is the flesh, instead of me getting closer to the true answer, which is the spirit, which is Christ. Hopefully you're getting this. This is very important. Because this restructures why I don't always encourage, not me, why the Bible doesn't even encourage some of these get-together groups. I've heard people many times of, hey, I want to get all the brothers and sisters together, and those who have the same problems, we all bring our problems together and we talk about them. And man, because we all have similar problems, that's good. Now that's the start. That part's okay. But what happens next is where it becomes dangerous. I've seen two people in particular that have gotten together and they've talked and they have similar problems and they find comfort that each had similar problems. And they talked about it, and then each told how each dealt with it. The problem was, that's where they went astray. Now they're using two flaws in order to give advice to two flaws. Once again, his version of blindness and the other version of blindness just have two versions of blindness coming together, and they're totally in the dark. See, there would have been no problem using the woman again if she went to the parent who had kids, and it had nothing to do with the kids. And every time she asked her, she guided her to, well, you know, the Bible says, well, based on the Bible, well, following what God says. You see where I'm coming from? Her experience played no part. Now, she can use her experience as examples, but the basis must be the word. But that doesn't happen, unfortunately. What tends to happen is, oh, what I did was, well, I noticed my child, so I started, and then they find comfort in their familiarity instead of comfort in Christ. Very dangerous. Our paths are not pure, not because of something that happened to us. Our paths are not pure because we stopped following it the way we're supposed to. Remember, he is the way, so he is that path. He is the truth, so he is the answer, and he is the life, so he's the entire essence of our existence. So if he's all of that, why do we then keep looking elsewhere? Why? Because it feels good. Please understand that, and that's where it becomes dangerous. Because understand, truth doesn't always feel good. Truth doesn't always seem good. Do you understand this? So you won't even realize when you're doing something foolish. Now, hopefully, as a Christian, when you get it, you'll realize, okay, the flesh is the problem. And this thing that this person is bringing to me, even when that parent was going, they were just looking for advice on how to raise the child. What God is showing us here is, okay, now I got to answer them, not in a way to keep them in the dark that they're in, but to bring them to the light. Watch what it says, that we must not encourage others in their issues. Proverbs 26, 4 through 5, and you got to get the understanding, and I had to use the New American Standard version in order to get an understanding of this, because if you read this in NIV and some of the other ones, it says the same thing twice, and it sounds like it's double talk. What the verse says in Proverbs 26, 4 through 5, it says, do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. Answer a fool as his folly deserves, lest he be wise in his own eyes. Now, some of the other versions say, do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. Then it goes, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. So it's saying, like, you just said the same thing, but the translation is one of those in which in that translation it would seem like it's saying the same thing, but the New American Standard did a good job of saying, no, no, no. The first one is saying, don't answer them within that. Now I'm gonna show you what that means. So the first part of it says, do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. So that parent will go, well, I did this, this, and this, and it seemed like it worked. And you go, great. Very common answer given today. Why? Because we're going off of sight. Everything fell into place. Are you happy with it? Everything's great. So we now are in agreement with them. And because we're in agreement, they think, oh, then it must be right. So now I, in their foolish answer, am in agreement with their foolish answer. And so we're both fools. And we're keeping it foolish. Once again, headed for the pit because it's blind. What he says in verse 5 is, no, answer a fool as his folly deserves. I didn't ask you about the outcome. And that's what's killing us. The outcome is based on sight. And outcome is deceptive. People don't realize, before we recognize what radioactivity did and what cigarettes did and just a bunch of stuff that in the past, the initial outcome from what we've seen, right, seemed outstanding. People would smoke or people would take a drop of radioactivity under their tongue, believe it or not, and it would give them this jolt of energy. And it would be like, wow, that's great. At the time, it seemed great. Smoking was just soothing and people loved it. Now we're in this thing of, why are people doing this horrible thing? And of course, we run away from any type of radiation because we see what it has done. But at the time, we couldn't see that. What we have in Christ is the answer, so I don't have to go through the test of touching the stove. He already gave me the answer. So when he says, answer a fool as his folly deserve, lest he be wise in his own eyes, I answered based on what God says. So if they said, using that parent, they did something with their child and it's not based on God, I curb them back to that. Yeah, I hear what you're saying and it may seem like it worked. Unfortunately, based on what God said, you see how I just did that? I'm letting them know, I know it may seem like it. I know it's falling into place, but you got to follow the way. You might not see it now, but it's going to come back and bite you. Do y'all get this? Answer as his folly deserves. And don't take an insult because we are all fools until we follow God. Please know that. Okay? It's a very dangerous thing. Now, our circumstances must not separate us, but bring us together in Christ. What tends to happen, the reason why we have so many denominations, so many different groups, is because we allowed our fleshly circumstances and our fleshly situations and who we are fleshly to bring us together. And so we have like minds in ourselves. While in reality, the one thing we as Christians are supposed to have over the entire world is the one thing that makes us the same is Christ. All that other stuff is meaningless. So they should see this church of a whole bunch of nationalities and a whole bunch of people and coming from all different walks of life having the same mind, not due to them, but based on Christ. It says in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10, I appeal to you, brothers, watch this, in the name of our Lord and Jesus Christ. Remember that, in his name, which fully represents him, that all of you, and hopefully you realize that includes everyone, it says that all of you agree with one another. Now, what he's not saying is, I agree with you based on you, or you agree with me based on me. That's why he started it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hopefully you realize Jesus always agreed with the Father. He simply put, you'll never hear from me by myself. When you do hear from me, you're hearing what the Father says. So we have to listen to what Christ says, who's listening to what the Father says. So we all be on the same page. He says, so that there may be no division among you and that you may be, watch this, perfectly united in mind and thought. Problem is we've gotten away from that. We've allowed some intellectuals, some emotionals to get into the church and start tossing variety as the answer. Why can't 2 plus 2 be 5? Why can't 2 plus 2 be 22? And we start forming these groups of people that, yeah, I like this. And that's where we're at today. And that's why Christianity seems so confusing, because we're allowing others to influence us. And we'll go, wow, I never watched this, seen it that way. But God has given us that answer. Now watch this. The unity we are to have must be in Christ so that the outcome glorifies God. The final product that we're aiming for is not always the answer or the outcome that we see, but glorifying him, because he's the answer. And not glorifying him that we're doing something for him, but that we're displaying him. Okay, this is why it's so important when it says, when they see your good deeds, they glorify your Father in heaven, because we're displaying him. Now, look what it says. It says in Romans 15, 5 through 6. This is, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity. So it's a prayer that we should have, okay? And unity is oneness. So we're looking for and must have a oneness, right? That's the prayer we're supposed to have. Sometimes we have, God, let them trust me, or listen to me, or let us have the same belief and this and that. I told you, during politics times, it's frustrating to me because I see Christians separate because of their beliefs, because of their thoughts. And I mean, they're passionate about it, while we're supposed to have unity. We just read there is to be no division among us. He says, a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus. Amen. Right? Because Jesus had a oneness with God. We are to have a oneness with him, which makes us all one. Why do we do this? Verse 6 says, so that with one heart, that's your purpose, one mouth, you're speaking, you may glorify the God and the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. What's happening today is because we have allowed our separations, our own beliefs, the way we want to do things, our own sight. Once again, we're worshiping God based on our sight, not in spirit and in truth. People have different viewpoints, and then it causes confusion. We have this full access to God based on the answer, going in the way, which encompasses everything that we are. It'll cover everything that we are. So what must we do in order to do this? Because it seems impossible. Well, he basically told us the answer, but let's make it even clearer. We must remove self and totally focus through Christ so that all problems can be dealt with by anyone in the body through one path. Now, think about what I'm saying here, and not me, but the word's going to say, and I'm going to show you this, that doesn't matter, as long as we're all in Christ, you can go to anybody who may have never experienced what you're going through, and they'll be able to answer you with the answer. Why? Because the answer has nothing to do with experience. It always comes from Christ. All counselings, all encouragements, all groups coming together will all be strong Bible studies in getting us to the truth, which is Christ. There would truly be meaning, and not us just saying a statement, when you tell people you need Jesus, because we realize, wait, no, I do need Jesus. Because some of the things we're trying to get away from, Jesus shows me, no, Keith, you need to stay there. Some of the things that I'm trying to get close to, God's saying, no, you need to get away from that. Some of the things that I think are hurting me, God's saying, no, that hurt is good. Some of the things I think are helping me, he's saying, no, you need to get rid of it. He shows us this in Philippians 2, 1 to 4, very clearly. He says, if you have any encouragement, okay, and this is what our relationship with Christ is supposed to encompass and the thing that it's supposed to do for us. He's saying, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion. So he's saying, hopefully your relationship with Christ, and this is what we're trying to get everybody with. As a Christian, I'm trying to get in a relationship with Christ. That's why he said, encouragement from being united with Christ. A Christian isn't just a title. Where we have blown it is we made Christianity a part. We would say things like, I'm an engineer, I'm from Pittsburgh, I like seafood, and I'm a Christian. You see how I did that? I just added it as an element of my character, but it all surrounds me. A Christian, when you unite with Christ, realize I'm no longer. it all surrounds Christ. So you would still say these things, but you would go, I'm a Christian engineer. I'm a Christian who happens to like seafood. I'm a Christian from Pittsburgh. Do you understand? The Christian part, it has to be the foundation of everything. He's saying, so if we have this, and this is what we're supposed to have in our relationship, we're supposed to have it to where he defines us. I'm a Christian. And then those other characters can fall on the side because they're meaningless. But the thing that defines me as a Christian, he's saying, if I have that, verse 2 then says, then make my joy complete by doing what? Being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. And if you notice, the key is being, having. When I have to choose to do this. So my goal is looking at others and saying, how can I work the oneness of Christ in them? I've seen two people, and it was during politics, and I seen one person who was really strongly conservative, and I seen another person who was really strongly liberal, and they both were Christians. The problem is, I don't know how either of them could truly strongly be any of those parties, because none of those parties encompasses this uniting with Christ. One or both of them may claim to have aspects of Christ, and they think that's enough. But remember, he said you can't serve two masters, so they miss out on what that means. What both of them, if they truly had a relationship with Christ, they would realize, wait, my dedication and allegiance to this group is separating me from the only thing I'm supposed to be partners with, and that's Christ. So how can I be like-minded in Christ with this person? Oh, I have to get rid of this stuff that the politic is telling me. If they would have done that. Because the things that get us into the politic is this part in verse 3 that man does every time. This is why you get irritated. This is why I get irritated. When he says, after he told us to be like-minded, having the same love and being one in spirit and in purpose, look what he says. He says, do nothing out of two things, selfish ambition or vain conceit. Let me translate it. Do nothing based on what I want or based on how I see it. That's exactly what politics are. That's all that politics are. I'm going to tell a group of people what they want for themselves, what they think is right, and how they see it. And that's why I can clearly say there's never been a politic throughout history that has been fully for God. None. You have some that may add an element here and make people feel good about it, but most of it has been geared towards the human themselves. That's why he goes into, but in humility, because humility makes me realize what I want can be extremely dangerous. How I see it can be extremely wrong. So in humility, I consider others better than myself. So what I mean by that is I need that other person. So their politics is not me trying to get them to see it my way, not me trying to get to see it their way, us trying to get to see it the way. You got this? So, but then recognizing God does know there are those disputable matters and things that we have, those interests, I still respect and understand those things that don't separate us. That's why it says each one should look not only at your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Now, if we followed this concept, we'd enjoy each other's differences, which are not away from Christ. And the thing that would combine us is Christ. We could go to one group to solve all problems, because we're not trying to patch the problem. We're trying to get away from the source of the problem, which is us. Now, following Jesus' lead, we must realize, if we're going to do this, that God's standards are the only standards. When he says in John 8, 15 through 16, and there's a lot of meaning in this, when he says, you judge by human standards. Now, why does he say it that way? Because human standards are a bunch of things that humans put together, and we've been wrong. From the beginning, it was a human standard when she looked at the fruit and saw that it was good for eating and gaining wisdom. That became a human standard because it was based on that human, while God says, do not eat. And like he says here, I pass judgment on no one, but if I do judge, my decisions are right because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. What Jesus clearly is saying here is, I'm not going to tell you my standard, how I see it. I'm just going to tell you his standard. So as a counselor, I have to be careful Because I'm not gonna lie to you, I'll hear people sometimes tell things, and the feeling I'll have is, well, maybe if you keep trying that, that'll work. And that scares me. Instead of going based on the Bible, do y'all get this? Because the Bible is the way, not what seems like the way. We must recognize that. We have to recognize that. Okay? Now, what we say must be full of God's grace and presentable to be received. So it'll change how I present, what I present, of course, okay, and how I do it. When this is in Colossians 4, verse 6, it says, let your conversations be always. Hopefully you saw that word, and it means all the time. Two things, full of grace and seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So now, like I said, all of us should be able to help everybody in every problem. I shouldn't need a group for drugs and a group for drinking and a group for sex addiction and a group that's depressed and a group that's for this and that. Even like we have women's group and men's group, and we just do that to kind of help stimulate that. But in both groups, we should be able to give the same. Sometimes when I do question and answer, I'll get asked the same question and they're going to both get the same answer. I'm not going to go, okay, men, since I got you, let me give you this answer. All right, women, I can only give you this answer because it's all the same answer. You understand this? So when he says, first of all, always full of grace, remember, grace is the thing that's getting us access to God. And the only way I can access grace is through faith. So everything has to be full of what his grace has provided us. Remember, his grace teaches us. It's a gift that gives us full access to the answer. But then he says something else here, seasoned with salt. Now, using the Bible, and it even tells us we are the salt of the earth, we provide two things, and it still follows the same pattern of what salt does. It adds as a preserve to hold something's time, to let it last longer before it spoils, and it adds flavor. So, in other words, I have to make sure in my conversation that it's flavorful. There's sometimes you could tell the truth. Do you understand this? Now, remember, be careful not to make it deceive or be the purpose. That's not what we're saying. I can't change my discussion to where you're laughing all the time because you're laughing is why you're going to come to listen. No. And overly interested. So you're listening to my storytelling and you're not listening once again, listening to the word. However, but I still got to do it in a way that it's flavored, that it's caught your attention the best I can. Right? And that it keeps it, that it'll stick with you. That's where the season with salt comes in. So then how you answer. And unfortunately, in certain times, it's going to be different for different people. I could talk to a group of adults one way, and it's going to be different than talking to a group of kids. How we season it with salt. That's why I have, therefore, we all must grow in the knowledge of the Lord in order to help others. Our goal is to, what can I do in order to be the godly person, in order to help everyone? Proverbs 1:5 says, let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. I go to the Bible daily. I pray as often as I can. And the purpose is to get the answer. In no way do I want to think I'm the expert, that I'm the counselor. And even as the pastor, I'm just the servant or a servant. I just want to be used to project or to give the answer. Hopefully, everybody gets that. Okay? The result is for all living and trusting the Lord. That's the final result we want. Because unfortunately, a lot of these help groups sometimes want help out of what they're supposed to be in. It's like, I think if you look in the Old Testament, some of the things that God allowed the guys to go through, and I've always used Joseph and we use Job in the same sense. God allows them to go through it. Today, they would probably need PTSD medicines or groups or depression guidance. Why? Because God, why would God do this to me? But when we give people the answer and stop giving them wishy-washy answers, intellectual answers, what you want to hear answers, but give them the answer, it allows them to trust God. It says, in Proverbs 22, 17 through 21, it says, pay attention and listen to the sayings of the wise. Please know who the wise are. That's just those given you Christ. Apply your heart to what they teach. So it's literally telling you, go to church and expect from those teaching God's word in its clearest form. You catch this? For it is pleasing when you keep them in your heart and have them all and have all of them ready on your lips. Watch this, so that your trust may be in the Lord. When you don't go to church, or if you don't go to church and receive it, or if you don't go to church, receive it and understand it, you're going to start figuring out stuff on your own. And once again, you're back to being blind. However, when you got his word, it's not always going to make sense, but you'll go, this is what he said. You got that? He told me to go straight. That you're trusting in him. So when that parent comes, you're not going, oh, I got four kids, I'm an expert. You'll go, let me tell you what he says. Well, what did you do with your child? I'm not going to tell you if I did it right or wrong. I'm going to tell you what to do with your child. Did y'all catch that? He says, I teach you today, even you, have I not written 30 sayings for you, saying of the counsel and knowledge, teaching you true and reliable words, so that you can give sound answers to him who sent you. Sound answers. Sometimes we're beyond that, and that's the thing hurting us. You have to understand, when it comes down to it, fully trusting in God is what our life must be about. Each and all, every one of our lives has to have this. And people will hear me say this is one of my favorite scriptures. And it's not that. It just kind of encompassed everything and really put me in the focus when I really got it. Proverbs 3, 5 through 7 just gave me the understanding of life. It just really opened my eyes to Keith, you must be here. And it's trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Unfortunately, all the worldly settings, worldly councils, worldly groups, even when they use God as a packaging on the outside, any worldly encouragement uses your understanding. And a lot of us find comfort in our understanding, even though the understanding, and when this is my understanding, it's mean understanding based on me, I just understand wrong. This is why we have distorted God so much. And then when life does something, we're going, God, I don't get it. Because we're leaning on our own understanding when it comes to God. But when I trust in God, I go to the answer, and that's all I need. He says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Some of us read this, and I'm sure, and there's some things you do, you'll pray about it and do what the Bible says. But there's other things you're like, well, no, I got this figured out. Have you checked those things? Are they in line with God? Have you really said, wait a minute, this thing I'm doing is fully based on what God says? Or did you, we've always done this. My family's always done this. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Watch this and look what he says. He will make your path straight. Main reason we keep going in the wrong way is because we keep trying to go the right way. I don't know what the right way is by myself. Once again, this faith that led me to grace gave me access to the way, right? It says he will make your path straight. So my job isn't to make my path straight. My job is just to allow him. It's like listening to a GPS. When it tells me to turn right, and I'm telling you many times when I've been driving somewhere, it makes no sense what that voice on there is saying. When it tells me to turn left, I'm going, why am I turning left? And that's just the machine. I can't trust that half as much as I trust God. But when he tells me to turn left, I'm going to have those moments where I'm going, why is he telling me to turn left? But it's going to be as I turn left. Why? Because I'm acknowledging him in everything that I do. The problem is we became too smart for ourselves. We got things figured out. That's why he says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Instead, he says, fear the Lord and shun evil. That reverence, that fear is so non-existent. that we are catering to the flesh in an enormous way, even in the church. We want comfort within our flesh and not the answer which heals all of us. Here's the warning. You can keep playing the game, playing the victim, and saying you're getting help while ignoring the help, and you're just going to get the deserved outcome. It says the ones that want real answers will seek God, while others are setting themselves up for disaster. Proverbs 1:29-33, as the last passage, it says, since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. Let me stop this. So remember, all of this you have access to, you just got to choose to access it. Two things of me showing I love knowledge will mean nothing will keep me from knowledge. Right now, we're so tired when we don't want to hear the word, or I don't get it, so I'm not going to go any further, or I study. It's study for us sometimes mean I read, I listen, but we're not asking questions, we're not going into it. And the fear of the Lord would be, hey man, I got to get this. You go to church, and you would say, oh, wait, I'm going to move to another seat because I got to get this. I remember I went with my son and we went to a Star Wars movie with a friend of his. And it was funny because his friend was such a huge fan. We were all talking and he got up and he just walked up to the front. Because when the movie came in, he wanted the movie to have his undivided attention. All I could do was laugh. It was funny. You know what I mean? But what I've seen him do is what we should be doing when it comes to gaining God's word. At that moment, nothing else to distract me. You know what I mean? It always caught me off guard sometimes when somebody's hearing the word and you start seeing them look in the space or doing something else and they're not saying that fear of the Lord. Wait, I have to get this. He's saying, since they hated the knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke. And you understand this. Since they're not taking what God is saying, watch what he says here. And this is one of God's promises that you don't like to be on that end of it. It says they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. Now, when you first read this, you think, okay, he's talking about evil people that are out to do evil. Please understand, when a person is not doing what God says, he's doing evil. Even when you mean well. If you really meant well, you would follow well. When he gave you the answer to what that way is, he's saying, oh, you're going to eat bad fruit because you chose to. He says, for the waywardness of the simple will, everybody say will kill them. He didn't say may. And he says, the complacency of fools will, everybody say will, destroy them. So if I choose to stay blind, if I choose to be a fool, I'm going to get what I chose. But clearly he says in verse 33, but whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. I know there's a lot of you are looking for answers and you're looking for groups and you're finding comfort, but you're finding it in the fleshly way. And this Bible study or order my steps really gives the answer of God's word of why we got to be careful with it, why your goal and the thing you're supposed to do is really get closer to God through his word, get an understanding of him, live your life in him, and you'll notice it will deal with your problems if that remains and stays your focus. Other than that, you're not going to like what you get. Let us pray. Dear Lord, our God, thank you so much, dear God, for the love you continue to give us, for the path you continue to show us, for being the way, being the truth, and being the life for us. Please forgive us, dear Lord, for allowing other ways which we know are wrong, other things that pose themselves as truths, and living other types of lives, which is not life but death, getting in the way to taking a substitute. We're in this time today, dear Lord, where we're just surrounded by it, even in what we're supposed to call the truth. Help us to shine our light, even for those amongst us that we're always displaying you. That when somebody comes with a question, we're always giving you. And when we're looking for the answer, we're always seeking you. Those who are struggling, dear God, help us not to help them to find comfort within the flesh, but to find comfort within the true comfort, which is you. Can't thank you enough, dear Lord, for all that you continue to do, for your love, for your patience, for your mercy. And all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name, we say, Amen.